Toronto-based CEREC is the only charitable organization of its kind in Canada that is focused on career development, education, and research. And CEREC's board chair, Candy Ho, is an international award-winning career development scholar and joins us on Canada Now. Hey, Candy, it's always great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Good to be here.
Well, good to have you. Now, according to a recent survey, Candy, 55% of Canadian workers feel more stressed than last year, and many would consider leaving their jobs when the economy stabilizes.
Interesting statistics, because in a newly funded report that we've just published with Create a Future Studio, we see a variety of trends, and the 55% could relate to multiple factors. So things like being able to work from home or not being able to do that, AI and automation, things like, things are might be happening at home, that's spilling into work, that's creating mental health and stress. So there's a lot of those factors that are coming into play, and it's got both positive and negative aspects for sure.
Yeah, and I want to focus on AI for a moment, Candy, because AI has entered the world of work, and executives believe that nearly 42% of the Canadian workforce will need to reskill over the next 3 years. And the federal government is committing $50 million to retrain workers whose jobs may be disrupted by this technology. Would this be the biggest area of impact in terms of what's changing in the workforce?
Mm-hmm. It's one of the 10 mega trends that is highlighted in the report for sure. Mm. From the conversations that I've had with employers and with job seekers, I would say that there's anxiety around it, but there's also a lot of excitement in being able to leverage this technology to enhance productivity, to enhance your understanding of that work, and to see what kind of things this technology can do. Now, on the flip side, there's also a lot of conversation around the ethics of what should be used, how should we be using AI with the sense of responsibility, what makes sense and what doesn't. And of course, it speaks to your point about reskilling and upskilling too, because there's a lot of we don't know what we don't know has been the sentiment. So, making sure that there is educational programs, micro-credentials, things that are out there to help both employees and employers and organizations as a whole to learn how is artificial intelligence going to impact their company and their industry as well. So maybe even learning together as part of the profession.
Well, now, and you mentioned the 10 biggest megatrends that are shaping the future of employment, and AI and automation being one of those 10. Another one being generational shifts. Can you discuss that a bit more and what that's all about?
Mm-hmm. So this is, again, one of the 10 mega trends, and yeah. It's the idea that intergenerational shifts in our workplaces, we're likely to see, four, if not five generations that are working together. So the implication here is because generations, they come in different values, different worldviews. We were born and raised at different times. What might be some of the work styles that are connected with particular generations that we can learn from each other? What might be, valuable lessons that we can impart? So there's an idea of being both a mentor and a mentee at the same time, also thinking about what might be points of conflict that we can anticipate that we need to work and talk with each other through. So it's a really interesting dynamic as we go into our workplaces now, as people are becoming more diverse and being able to work together, and then combined with things like remote and hybrid work. What is that going to look like, and leveraging technology too? So it all ties in together, these trends.
Well, and yes, and talking about working anywhere being one of the mega trends, another being declining mental health and well-being, I'm sure those go hand in hand as well.
Yeah, so being able to work anywhere and also leveraging technology as well, remote and hybrid workers, on the plus side, they have they're able to better control their time, right? So there's no more commute. Being able to have that time back and better using it in other aspects of your life has been enhancing their mental health and job satisfaction. And then at the same time, when the place that you work is also the place place that you live, socialize and be with family, sometimes there's a lot of conflict as well. And I'd like to think of my own example of how during the pandemic, my kitchen table was where I worked, I teach, where I eat, I draw with my kid, and how it all comes in together. It's messy, it's chaotic at times, but you know, it worked. It allowed me to be multifunctional. So I would imagine I'm not the only one that's in this, right? So again, it's got pros and cons, and it's the way for us to think about how we want to move forward as individual employees working with our employers beyond the pandemic, and how we want to work and how we want to live our lives. Those are big conversations to have.
Oh, sure. So how can we best build an open and flexible career mindset?
Mm-hmm. I think it starts with you leveraging activities where you can understand yourself. So being reflective about as we are out of the pandemic, the pandemic has become a normal part of our lives. How do we want to live as a human being? What are some of the values and priorities that remain important to us? What are some of the things that are new? So, for example, talking with people, the sense of, I want to spend more time with my family. I want to spend more time taking care of myself. Those are some common aspirations. And so how does that align with the work that you're doing right now? Are you working, the 50 or 60 hours? If that's the case, then something's got to change. So having a reflective moment with yourself and thinking about that, and then having an open and frank conversation with your supervisors and employers of, this is where I'm coming into. These are the things that I love to do about my job. And these are the things that I would love to hear from your perspective, what I can get help on. Having that conversation and getting the employer, your employer, to understand where, how can you be your best self, to bring your fuller self to work. It's time for organizations to, think about how do we treat people, individual employees, as unique human beings that have needs and aspirations and work together on that. Of course, professional associations, think about the best practices within the sector as well. And the fact that if not everybody aspires to climb the ladder, what would it look like in terms of organizational structure and motivations and incentive for people to bring their best selves and do their best at work?
So there's a lot to do for employees, employers, as well as employees, approach them with what's going on with them. More on what employers can do, but from the standpoint of an employee comes to you and says, hey, I feel like my career is at a standstill. How can an employer help them with that?
Yeah, I love the idea of having career conversations and digging deep with the employee on, okay, if you're feeling like you're at a standstill, let's take a look at your resume and let's have you talk about what you've done so far. What are some of the things that you really enjoy about your current work? What might be some of the things that you don't feel as passionate about? And career development professionals, we work with not just individual clients, but we work with organizations to engage in workforce planning as well. So this is a really good case study for career development professionals that work with organizations to say, okay, how might we be able to look at reshaping this particular positions or these positions to make it more engaging for employees that are coming in? Let's talk about a progression plan. Let's talk about roles and responsibilities that you can do more of, things that you can do less of to help you cultivate that sense of growth and progression.
Okay, so we've talked about what a career professional could do for employers and for companies. What about what they can do for an employee? What kind of help would we get out of a career professional?
Well, with career development professionals, we take a look at the person's trajectory. Again, what have they done so far? Asking them, what are some of the things that they really enjoy? And then going back to what I said earlier, what are some of the goals and aspirations and priorities you have at this point? And to what extent do they align with what you're currently doing and what you want to do? And working very closely, collaborating with the client to say, okay, let's devise some of the steps that we need to help you get there. Set goals. We also wear the hat of being cheerleaders and helping them stay motivated along the way and helping them understand that sometimes there may be setbacks and that's okay. And what was the lesson from these setbacks that we can help you bounce back? So it goes back to the idea of having a career mindset, maintaining optimism, and also being realistic at the same time and being strategic as well.
We talked earlier about government stepping in, the federal government committing $50 million to retrain workers whose jobs may be disrupted by AI. On a more broader sense, how can a national career strategy help prepare all Canadians for a changing labor market?
Thank you for mentioning that. So we currently have a group of very dedicated national career development professionals that's working on a campaign towards why career development matter. We're proposing the idea of beyond decent work. So it is the idea that work should not just be decent. You know, making a living is great, but also making a meaning out of your living. So, you know, not just, you know, going through paycheck and paycheck and going through the motions, but being able to afford your living, your lifestyle, but with a job that you're excited to go to as well. So going back to that question about reskilling and upskilling, it's the idea of, again, coming back to your plan. Okay, so your job at this point, some of the responsibilities can be done by AI, but what are some of the things that you're looking forward to learning? So tapping into people's motivation and then helping them figure out what is it that they need to learn to stay relevant, and then figuring out what might be an educational plan look like. So it could range from a short-term program, a micro-credential, to something that is longer term as well. So, and how do you work with employers to have conversations about what am I learning? How am I applying it to the workplace, and how do I help the organization and myself be better and more productive?
Well, check out CERIC.ca, Board Chair Candy Ho. Candy, it's always a pleasure having you on the show and benefiting from your insight. Thank you so much for this.
Thanks, Jeff.